We are now going to hear the second part of Christine Waugh's interview, in which she talked with an old school friend, Christine Elder, about VSO in Papua New Guinea. And we're going to join the interview when Christine asked her friend about what she wore when she was there.
Now, what sort of things did you wear when you were out there?
Well, we were told to take 12 of everything. I didn't. But I did actually make these night dresses, which were just material stitched with a gather at the top. So, of course, I never wore any of them. So when I was due to leave, I gave them out to the girls, and by afternoon, they'd all turned them into skirts. Drindle skirts, gathered skirts.
Yes,
you know, so they all ended up with a new skirt.
Oh, brilliant. And yeah. Where did you live? What was your accommodation?
We were in what was called Middle House. It was on stilts, and it was made out of woven pandanus leaves, panels of woven pandanus leaves.
But pandanus is what?
It's a plant. If you think of a banana leaf that's gone dry and been cut into straight lines, and then, as I say, it was woven. It was quite firm. It was firm. I mean, it was quite... but I say it was built on stilts, and we were lucky where we were because we actually had a septic tank underneath the house, and we had a tank which collected the water when it rained, and then that was one of the jobs of the children in the morning, was to pump up the water so that we had water in the kitchen and in, well, I'm using the term bathroom very loosely.
So you had a bathroom then?
Well, it was a bucket which you could haul up, and it had a rose, like the watering can rose at the bottom. And you could actually have a shower after a fashion. So, you know. And of course, if the weather was bad, they could dry the washing under the house because it was built on stilts.
And of course, if it's on stilts, it'll stop any animals attacking you, won't it?
Yeah. Well, the children tried to save the snake, but built on stilts because of the snakes. Well, I did actually see a snake once. And the funny thing was, it didn't slither along the ground. It sort of ran along the ground in...
You're making up like Loch Ness Monster.
Loops like that along the ground. And we're out on one of the tracks going through, and the kids all just vanished. Run, miss, run. Well, they called me teacher, actually. Run, teacher, run. Because they said it was a Papuan black, which was highly dangerous. But I do have my doubts about that. They were putting it on, weren't they?
Oh, right, OK. That must have been difficult. In the classroom, it wouldn't be like teaching English children at all, would it?
What
sort of things did you actually teach?
We did have a syllabus as such, because at the end of year six, they took these what you'd call 11 plus type exams, which would decide who was going to go to the high school and who was going to go to the vocational school. So you were teaching. In fact, some of the things they asked you to teach, I thought, well, that's totally inappropriate because they haven't a clue what that sort of thing's like. It's only if you were in Australia or in Britain, you know. But anyway, we plodded our way through it and did the standard six exam.
So you had to do exams?
Oh, yes. And that was another thing I did. I kept, because they were year six, and I kept giving them tests to do.
So they were supposed to be about 11?
Yeah, then. That was about your average age. Well, supposedly in year six. And I kept giving them, because we were one of those old Xerox Banda things, you know, that you could run off.
Oh, it's like a butter churn, isn't it?
Yeah, almost? And you have a thing with like a band, almost like a carbon copy thing on the back of it, and you ran it off like this.
Yeah, right.
So obviously with no electricity.
No,
so
manual. Turning it round. Cranking it up.
That was it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I used to keep giving them tests, but again, we had that same problem. When you went in the storeroom after a certain number of weeks, the wee beasties had started at the top and worked all the way down, so...
Oh, yes, yeah.
There wasn't a lot of proof there that... that they'd actually achieved anything, you know. Well, not in that sense. But those who didn't get to the high school, they could go to this vocational school. But the Australians, who still governed Papua New Guinea then, obviously hadn't a clue what the place was like, because they sent forms for the parents to fill in and sign. These are people out in villages who couldn't speak English, hadn't a clue what the date was or when the children were born or anything. So I filled them all in and signed them.
But didn't you say there were 700 languages?
Yeah, yes. Apart from English, of course.
But
that area had... they had their own language, that area. Each area had its own language, you see.
Right.
So, of course, the chap at the vocational school, he'd only have that one area of children to come down to the vocational school. Mm-hmm. But he probably knew exactly what was going on, because he'd know. But unfortunately, I met him when I was just on my way home. But I thought he'll know exactly who's signed all these forms. And he was no more interested than I was, in a way.
So is this true confessions?
It is, yeah.
All these years later?
Yeah.
Right. I'm hoping you're not going to go to prison for torture.
So
you didn't just do your own school, didn't you have to go and administer?
We did education patrols. And normally either Leslie or myself would go, we wouldn't go together. But you'd get the boat, either the Pipigar if it was there, or one of the boats that had an engine, and it would take you down to the end of the Milne Bay district where you'd start on your first school, and then you'd be on, like Errol Flynn used to be in Africa, you know, winding his way through the jungles of Africa.
So no roads?
Oh, no, no. But if you were lucky, somebody might be going past in a canoe and they'd take you back past in the canoe.
And what sort of canoe is this?
Well, let's say, to be very careful as you sat down, in case your skirt went over the side and got wet. Because they were what you'd call small.
Right, okay. And of course, you tip over very quickly.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So you had to be very careful.
More like a log.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a log that they cut out, of course.
Right, okay.
Because the palm tree, coconut tree, was very handy. Coconut tree, banana trees, they were all very handy for all sorts of things that they could use. The trunks for, the leaves for. Great as an umbrella, a banana branch, great as an umbrella because it spread out and, you know. So on our final patrol, before Leslie and I were due to go home, we both went together on this education patrol, and every village we went to, they had a party for us at night. And you can imagine it was beautiful because you've got the palm trees and you've got the lamp, tilly lamps and candles and everything else.
People pay a fortune for this.
Yeah. And they would put banana leaves down the sand, and put food on them. Nowadays, you wouldn't be allowed to do that because of health and safety. But they had food all down on these. And you just sat there and you ate this, and it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And there was always somebody, I don't know what kind of instruments there, but there was always somebody who could play something or other, and they'd be dancing on the beach and so on. So it was lovely.
An idyllic lifestyle.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah. And then, you see, they kept giving us presents. So we were having to gather more bearers, carriers, hiring men in the village to carry all this stuff on for us. And at one village, we were given a hen, a cum-cum, and they tied a bit of wool round one of the legs so that when we got to the next village, they could put it in the cum-cum house, and we got the same hen the next morning to carry on. And the man who was carrying this hen, I'm not saying he was simple, but he wasn't, shall we say, university material. Yeah, yeah. But he carried it properly. He didn't carry it by its legs. He carried it properly. So when we got back to Fife Bay, we gave him an extra tip.
And how did you communicate with home?
Letters. Because again, when they delivered the post bag, they picked up our letters.
And how often would that post come?
In theory, once a fortnight. But if there was, a boat with an engine, they would pick it up at Samurai and drop it off. These would only be small boats, of course, when I'm saying a boat with an engine. Because if you got a lift on a boat with an engine, you'd to pay them. But if you got a lift in a canoe, you didn't have to. But, of course, the post was brought to our house or to the patrol post, and they would bring up any mail. And the children, two of the little girls came and said to me, would my sister, because they still saw us as only being girls, not grown-up women as such, and would my sister be their pen pal? So I wrote to Glenys and I said, will you send them a letter or a card or something? And Glenys and her friend sent them postcard each. So, of course, when the names were called out as to who'd got the post, little Joyce and her friend went up to get their card.
Very, very important.
That was what they wanted, was the names to be called out when they brought the post.
Yeah, yeah.
But somebody I met when I first started teaching, Dennis, and he used to... Oh, do you remember the aerograms that you could send?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he used to... But what is... It's what he used to write on the back as to where it had come from. Even the patrol officers went through it all to find out where it was from this time, because he put things like the Reverend True Love, Canterbury Cathedral, and various other things that were
all fictitious.
All fictitious, of course, yeah. But of course, folks think, Buckingham Palace? How's he got a letter from Buckingham Palace?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that was the highlight of the fortnight, you know, when the mail boat came, because also my mum sent out all these magazines, and of course the kids were fascinated by these because they'd never seen anything Well, even just an ordinary house, what we term as an ordinary house or an ordinary street of houses, they were fascinated by it all. So we had to be very careful because Leslie and I would be reading the serials in these magazines and we didn't want them disappearing to be cut up before we'd found out what it was all about, mm-hmm. you know.
And you were able to send flowers, weren't you, for your sister?
Yes, when my sister got married, I was able to send to a friend who arranged for flowers to be sent when they got married.
Be a shame missing the wedding, though.
It was, yeah. But then, you see, on the other hand, Glenys was small. I always refer to her as my wee sister because she was smaller than I was, as well as being younger than I was. And she had four of her friends to be bridesmaids. But my mother always said, no, well, she'd say, well, you would be the bridesmaid. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I wouldn't. Because not only was I taller than Glenys, I was taller than her husband, you know, that sort of thing. So in one way, it was better like that, yeah.
And your mum helped by knitting, didn't she?
Yes, she knitted all these. Because you hear about it even now, about premature babies needing
these
bonnets.
I've never thought about it until you've mentioned it.
So she knitted a lot of these babies' bonnets.
For premature babies?
For premature babies,
and
out.
And they were even needed in the in the conditions at Papa.
Even though it was, as you say, warmer there. But then again, they wouldn't have an incubator or anything, would they, at the hospital? Because it was very basic. They were very, very useful.
And did you have any particular pupils that you remember?
Well, they were all characters, but Joyce, she was called Big Joyce because there was Little Joyce, but Big Joyce was only Big Joyce because she was taller than
Joyce. Well, Joyce is a European name.
Yeah, well, of course, they'd had missionaries
out
there, you know, since Adam was a lad, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
She was absolutely stunning. If she'd lived over here, she would have become a famous model because she had a personality as well.
Naomi Campbell or something like that. Yeah.
Because I remember hearing her saying once, my name, when they were all just talking, my name's Joyce Elder, and I go, because they didn't have surnames.
Oh.
They just attached the father's name, like Tito and Caesar were Tito Pahilele, because their dad's name was Pahilele. So
His first name was Papa Haley.
His dad was.
Yeah. Oh,
Pastor Papa Haley, that was his. Well, they only had one name.
Right.
But because of the Australian administration, you have to put Christian name and surname, you see. So Tito became Tito Pahilele, and his brother Caesar was Caesar Pahilele, you see, because Pastor Pahilele was, he was quite a forward-thinking man, because they did have the Puri Puri man, who was the magic man. And unfortunately, even those who had a good education still believed in the Puri Puri man, and if he said something, that was it. But they didn't actually know who the Puri Puri man was. He was one of the villagers. Each village, I think, had their own. But apparently Pahilele's wife had twins, and one of them had died. And of course, Puri Puri man, because you shouldn't have so more children. Blah, blah, blah. And he said no. He said it was just one of those unfortunate things that happened. But you did hear about people who did believe in the Puri Puri man.
It makes you realise how unsophisticated they were. What a lovely, you know, lovely beliefs that
yes,
they have.
Yes,
not always correct, but
lovely. Yeah.
Did any of them get onto the high school? Did
oh, yes, them? Yes. The top few went to the high school. And I had a letter from Tito saying it was so cold, he thought it was going to snow.
So this had been sort of 32 degrees, I should imagine.
Thought it was going to snow. But then again, as I say, some of them went to high school, and I know that Tito went to work in a bank, and he did actually he must have got married and had a child, because he called his son Elder.
Oh, wonderful.
You know.
So oh, Chris, that's wonderful.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
I remember
what
that.
A compliment.
Yeah.
Tremendous compliment.
No, but they were all lovely children. Well, apart from Biku. Now, Biku, he could be a pain, but like one of the girls told me, said, well, his father was, now which tribe did he belong to? Anyway, he belonged to another tribe, and they were headhunters. But then I thought there was quite a bit of headhunting, but I didn't go into it. I thought, I'm not asking. Ignorance is bliss, just leave it at that,
right,
you know.
Right. Now we've heard what you wear, and we've heard that the girls wear dirndl skirts.
Yeah.
What did everybody else wear?
Boys just wore ramis, they were called, and it was a piece of material which they just tied round the waist. But the older ladies still wore grass skirts and no tops.
Grass skirts, no tops.
No tops. And I can still see this woman sitting there to this day. Her breasts drooped down as if they'd been drunk dry. But on the end of one, on the nipple, was a plaster. And I still think now how awful that must have been when they came to take that plaster off. Oh. I cringe even now at the thought of it.
Now, that seems to me to be a bugger appen.
Yes.
A bugger, yeah. What a lovely word.
Yeah.
Would you do it again, Chris?
No, because when you're young, you don't know what the drawbacks are, what the problems could be. You just go, don't you? Whereas now, I'm more aware of what difficulties there would be. But I recommend it to anyone.
Well, VSO is still going.
Oh, yes, and I recommend that to anyone. Especially these that are going to have a year out. Now, some of these that have a year out don't do anything with that year, do they? They just either get a job. Well,
they're supported by parents,
yeah,
aren't they?
Now, they could do something like that and they would get another experience of what life was like, and it would do them a lot of good.
It's certainly done you good.
Yeah. Right. Yes, I certainly enjoyed
Thanks
it.
Thanks very much. And that plaster on the end.
Yes,
a bugger apple. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.